I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
They believe in their guy Stidham. And yeah, he's not a brand name yet, but neither was Tom Brady when he took over as a sixth round pick. I mean, Matt Cassel won 10 out of those 11 wins that season, and he was not a sexy name. That's not what Belichick's interested in.
Is something wrong?
No. Everything's cool right now. Might be some problems later, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
What they're saying is the perception is Belichick's not working with a lot. So if he wins 9-10 games, he might win Coach of the Year. And I expect Belichick to do better than 8-8 this season. I think so do the odds makers. So does the public.
I'm still going to enjoy this. I am a master of Greco-Roman wrestling, and I will crush you, and you will learn a new definition of pain.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
I think I would be more surprised if he absolutely sucked, because then it's like, what were you looking at, Bill? What were you doing, Bill, letting Tom Brady just walk away, not even going to the negotiating table, essentially? What was going on? That's sort of what I would say.
I've had it with this dump. We got no food. We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off.
If Jared Stidham plays like a top five quarterback, that would surprise me more than if Jared Stidham plays like a bottom five quarterback. I'm expecting Stidham to be kind of like that. You know, he's not going to screw up too much and kill you, but he's not going to do the spectacular either.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can.
For the love of God, cherish it.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, hour two of the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen. Let's talk to Dan and Cranston. Who wants to talk Pats? Dan, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you
good,
doing?
Good, Danny. How are you?
I'm right. I'm in the wind right now, so if it sounds like a tunnel, I apologize.
Okay, that's okay. We don't care.
So one thing real quick. I don't know if you talked about it. If they put it on pay-per-view for $100, I will watch David Portnoy and Roger Goodell sell a for a Monday night game.
We should talk about that. We didn't talk about that.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Dan, I'll split it with you. I'll come over and watch it.
Okay, well, yeah. If it was $1,000, they'd just get 10 guys and I'll pay $100.
Exactly. I'd be down because I think that would be absolutely fascinating. I think Goodell should do it, prepare himself for it. He shouldn't let – I don't know. I don't know if he should let –
You know he's gonna show up in the clown T-shirt with the big nose on him.
Yeah, and if I'm Goodell, you have to laugh at it and be like, "You jerk! I can't believe you did that." It's funny though. You have to try and save face if you're Goodell. But I would absolutely watch it. I'm with you.
Yeah, it's worth it, sure. So on the subject, it's a give and take a little bit. You probably already said this, but so if Tom Brady always played for the dollar, there's no answer to this.
Yeah.
How many Super Bowls do you think he has? Who knows?
Yep.
Not six. Do we agree on that?
Yes. No. No way.
No, definitely
not
six.
You think four might be realistic?
Maybe.
Yeah. So now you're saying
he probably would have had the first three still.
Yeah, you still have the first three.
How many more after that?
And then I think I'm only going to give you that fourth one against Seattle.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you can't really quantify it, but he's the GOAT because he took less money, right. You know, I mean, and he more than made up for it on the backside, the money that he, you know, whatever he has gotten or gave up, he's gotten probably tenfold in endorsements or whatever.
Agreed.
Or for the rest of his life. As far as the salary cap goes, I agree with you. Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are the two best examples of this right now, especially Wilson, because the year they won it,
100%.
He was like 0.6% of their salary or something, of their cap. And, you know, now he's the chief reason why they're always a couple guys short.
Correct.
Because he's way up
there.
Defense
isn't close to what it was. He's a great player, but he never has enough.
Yeah.
And he has to rely on a rookie receiver to get him to where he wants to go.
I somehow always find a way to pivot my buddy in, but look what the way you do it is what the 49ers did. Mm-hmm. When you have a ton of cap space, right?
Yeah.
They send Garoppolo to a ton of money, but they gave him like $40 million of it in the first year when they had a ton of space. So now he's only on the books for 23. That's it. That's his cap number for the next 3 years of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on an ascension. So that's how you can make it work. You got to get lucky with the timing and everything, but you got to figure when you got a guy and give him the, whenever you have as much space as you can, preferably in the first 2 years when you're building something, that's when you pay the guy all the money. You front load it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. It's an impossible situation where I think people are starting to say, like, you know what? It's probably not worth it to pay a guy 20% of the cap. You just can't win. And I think that's going to be a problem. I think that's part of what the Patriots are doing right now.
Yeah, especially if you're not the best player at the most important position.
Yeah, it is the most important position, period. But I think you can win with a good to very good quarterback. You don't need a top five elite person. I think that's somewhat overrated.
I could run through the list of marginal to good quarterbacks that won Super Bowls. I could run through that list, you know. Jim Plunkett, Doug Williams, Mark Rippon.
Sims,
I don't think is. Well, I'm moving forward.
Yeah.
Then Brad Johnson.
Yeah.
What's his name in Baltimore? Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
Nick Foles. I mean, Eli wasn't that great, but he was awesome during those runs. I'm not going to take it away from him.
The only thing I'll say, like, the game has changed since then. It's a much more passing league now.
Sure.
So it's not like running in defense, you know, wins it all the time. But, yeah, you get a guy.
Yeah, but you had Foles a couple of years ago.
Look, yeah, with Bill Belichick, you just need, let's just say, a top 15 guy. You know,
sure.
I think that would get it done.
Sure.
Because I think he can build around that, and I think they have a good system that would, you know, be successful, which is why I'm still pissed that Garoppolo is not here. But I complain about that every goddamn week because they had the guy to do it.
It's okay. We'll let you do it every week.
I'll get over it, you know. They'll put it on my gravestone probably.
Until Jimmy G's back here at age 33, you can do it every week on this show.
Yeah, well, maybe Aaron Rodgers goes there next year after he gets. So I can only pray. All right, have a good day, guys.
All right,
take care.
So what do you think Adele will do with that scenario? If you didn't see, Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports essentially, what, he win an auction that got himself?
Yeah, it was like a silent auction.
A seat next to Roger Goodell in his house.
In his basement.
In his basement.
The one that we saw on the draft.
In his basement. Where is that? In Maine? Is that where that is?
No, it's in New York. It's in New York.
Okay, so I don't know why I thought he had a house in Maine.
He does.
Oh, he has a house.
He has a summer house in Maine. But
so he's in New York, in the basement, to watch a Monday Night Football game. What do you think the play Goodell makes?
I think he has to do it. It's really bad. Look, I mean, Portnoy just dropped $250,000.
Okay, so what if, let me just...
For charity.
All right, okay, that's fine. But what if he does this? And I don't know what the other bids were. What if Goodell says, I don't like what Dave Portnoy has represented in terms of his relationship with the NFL.
Okay, then you know what you do? You still have him come over, and then you have a conversation with him man-to-man.
Okay.
Instead of saying, oh, this is part of my problem with some people when they're anti-president, whoever the president is. I'm not trying to be political, but I get frustrated sometimes when it's like, oh, I don't want to meet that guy. Well, if you have a problem with him and you want to say like, hey, I don't think what you're doing here is right for a certain section of people or whatever it is, what better way than talk to them face-to-face?
What if you don't want to give him the satisfaction of the content he'll be able to create out of that visit with the commissioner?
So what? So what? I mean, what is he going to create? If he is libelous, you sue him. If he makes stuff up, you sue him. That's how it works in this country.
He'll create a lot of content out of that interaction.
Sure. It's not bad for you.
No, it's not bad for you
unless you're a complete toolbox to Portnoy. It's not going to... Listen, if I was a higher up at the NFL, I'd say, do it. Don't let him film it, but do it. Sit down, have a conversation with him. Maybe you can film a 2-second thing or whatever. That way you can put it out there and show that you actually did it. But I would encourage him to do it. Why wouldn't you go talk to the head of a large media arm? Why wouldn't you? It's a way to potentially get him on your side.
There's no way the benefits, there's no way the drawbacks of not doing it outweigh the benefits of doing it. You might have some...
No, if you bail on it, it looks 100 times worse.
It might feel good for a second. that you get to kind of screw Portnoy on this, but no. It just would not be beneficial.
Only
going to
make
Roger
you look
Goodell.
Bad.
It will.
If Portnoy was on the up and up about how much he spent to do this, then that's going to make you look really bad, Roger Goodell. Unless the only way you get out of it and go, listen, I don't want to do that with him. I know he, I'll pay the $250,000 back to him, and then I'll drop $1 million on top of it to charity. That's the only way you can possibly get out of it. But yeah, still, you still really can't.
You could say, I don't like this guy. I'm going to take whoever the second highest bidder was, and then I'll pay the difference with my own money to get to what Portnoy
still looks bad.
It does.
Still looks really bad, especially with someone that has a loyal legion of fans. And he does, and Barstool does, and for a reason.
Well, credit to Portnoy, because he turned this into a win-win situation for him.
Absolutely.
And arguably a lose-lose situation, depending on how you look at it, for Roger Goodell, even though I think that he could come out of this not all that damaged, because if he does do it and he does sit down with Portnoy, that could be beneficial for everybody.
Agreed.
Now, I don't think that the NFL absolutely needs every stoolie. The stoolies are still going to watch NFL football.
Of course.
But if you want to be a little bit more likable, and show that you don't take yourself all that seriously, I think it could benefit his image. I think it could be good for everyone.
Yep.
And it'd be funny. It would be something that we'd all want to see.
Yeah.
It would create great content. I think it'd be good. He should do it.
I think so. I absolutely think he should do it. You put it out there that, hey, what highest bidder, you're going to do this. I think you look like a puss if you back out. So I think he would look really bad, irreparable harm, if he backed out. Just go through with it. Have a conversation with man to man. He doesn't like you. You don't like him. So what? What? You're not getting into a fist fight. Just have the conversation.
Yeah.
Be like, I get it. You don't like certain things that I've done, but the reality is you don't understand certain other aspects that we're dealing with here. Then have a conversation with him. Business owner to, I'm not going to call Roger Goodell business owner because he's not, but the top of a business, sure, essentially. Have the conversation. And hell, Roger, you might learn a little bit more about your fan base with a guy like that who's a little more plugged into the fan base than you are.
I don't think you need to have this deep conversation.
No, I don't
think you
have
him
over
that, sort of having the conversation without having the conversation.
Yeah.
And you just sort of see how the night goes. And like I said, I wouldn't let it become part of the Barstool documentary where they film the entire thing.
I wouldn't.
No.
If I'm Portnoy, I'm pushing for that.
Oh,
but
yeah. You want to film as much as possible.
But if I'm Roger, if I'm in Roger's position, I'm going, we never said you could film. That was never part of the deal.
Right.
I'm not letting you film inside my house.
Right.
Yeah. Of course.
So that, I think that's a good way to compromise.
By the way, a name that we were trying to figure out during the break, Theo Ratliff. Yeah. Not that anyone cares.
We were talking about the 2001
76ers.
Yeah, the argument was who's the better player overall, Allen Iverson and Kyrie Irving, and we concluded that Irving, there's no way Kyrie Irving could lead a team, which included Dikembe Mutombo to the NBA Finals by himself. Iverson's a better player. I think Iverson did a little bit more defensively. Iverson was an MVP. Kyrie Irving has never been a league MVP.
And he never will be.
Iverson is the answer to that question. Shouldn't even have brought it up. And thank you, Theo Ratliff. I remember that name.
That whole conversation, didn't matter to anybody in the audience, but that's what we were talking about. That's what we talk about during the commercial breaks. That's how sad our lives are.
So just to cap off what we were saying, Aaron Rodgers is not going to play for the Patriots.
Nope.
Jimmy Garoppolo, you threw that out. I was just making a joke. I don't think that's going to happen either. We'll see what happens. I don't know. The problem is, if you don't have a guy that is good enough to win you a Super Bowl, I'm not sure. And here's the thing. You keep bringing up Nick Foles or Joe Flacco.
Yep.
The problem, you can win a Super Bowl, maybe. If every star aligns, you can maybe win one Super Bowl, but then you're done after that. They're not good enough to sustain it.
You can't be consistently competitive.
No.
You just can't with average guys at that position. And then what happens? They win the Super Bowl, then you overpay them. Well, look at Nick Foles. It's a perfect. And Flacco's an even better example, actually, because he at least stayed there, and they overpaid him. They paid him. He was the highest paid quarterback.
What were you going to do? You had no choice. That was a tough situation. You're bent over a barrel. He had just won you the Super Bowl in his contract year. So he's a free agent. He just won you the Super Bowl. You have two options. You either pay him, and he's going to have other options because he just won the Super Bowl. So you have to pay him a lot of money, or you don't want to pay him, which you can make an argument for, but then what? You just let the guy who took you to a Super Bowl walk out the door? How are the fans going to react to that? How's the team going to react to that? That's not an easy situation either. It's a tough predicament.
See, I think you can get away with paying top dollar for a quarterback, but you better be an amazing drafter.
Yeah.
You better be amazing at drafting.
Which the Ravens have been.
Which
and
the
they
Ravens
still,
have been really good.
They still couldn't overcome it.
And they still couldn't overcome it. And his play fell off, and you're overpaying a guy who's not even close to being worth it. But you have to be an all-time great drafter. So, if I'm looking at the history of the NFL, and granted, salary cap, you know, they're not coming into play here, but you look at the team of the 70s, the Steelers, and they win four Super Bowls, 74, 75, 78, 79. They win those four Super Bowls. It's really, and it's not because of Terry Bradshaw. He's not a great quarterback. It was because Chuck Knoll was the best drafter in the business. Because he'd keep replenishing his team. Now, obviously, the NFL then is very different from what it is today. You don't have free agency, so it plays out a little bit differently. You can retain talent without having to overpay them. But that's why that team was incredibly successful, because they would just keep loading up in the draft and drafting amazing talent after amazing talent to keep them relevant for a long time. And that's what you got to do. That's what you have to do. You look at the 49ers of the 80s. Bill Walsh was a great drafter. Makes a deal, gets up to 16 or whatever it was to make sure he takes Jerry Rice. Drafts the greatest wide receiver of all time. Brings in Roger Craig. Brings in all these guys and drafts Ronnie Lott. Like, he's just a great drafter, so he could build a full, robust team. So if you're going to overpay your quarterback or pay your quarterback that much of the cap, you better be damn good at drafting, because you're not going to be able to pay some of the other position players that you need.
All right, let's take a break. I have two more things I want to get to when we get back in the next segment. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
Radio 103.7 WEEI. Trending now. Now, the WEEI trending now.
Good morning at 10:25. Here's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. Aaron Rodgers says his desire to stay with the Packers for his entire career may not be a reality after the Green Bay Packers drafted Utah State quarterback Jordan Love in last month's draft. Yankees do not expect Aaron Judge back from rib injury until the summer. And the mayor of Boston did say once the MLB season opens up, the Red Sox can play games at Fenway Park, but with no fans. I'm Devin Talgani, and that's what's trending now.
Now, back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. Did you hear Blake Snell, former Cy Young winner for the Tampa Bay Rays, his comments?
Couldn't avoid it.
So, do we have that sound, Devin? We didn't get that sound. It was janky sound anyway. He was talking on a
Twitch stream?
Yeah, it was a Twitch stream. That's what it was.
Yep.
But basically what he said, to paraphrase, he does not. So, the owners and the players, they had agreed to that they were going to prorate the salary so that they were going to get paid when they started playing, if I have that right. So, once the game started, they would get paid. And then the owners wanted to take more of a cut, a 50-50 split. So the owners were going to take more. The players were going to already lose some money because of the lack of games, and then they were going to lose more money.
Yep.
Blake Snell didn't like it. Blake Snell then went on and talked on this Twitch stream how he was totally uncomfortable doing that, how he—
He was basically doing the Ray Liotta from Goodfellas. Have you seen Goodfellas?
No.
Okay. I know you didn't like The Godfather that much. You will love Goodfellas.
Okay.
Very different.
But a lot of bros.
Yeah, but it was basically the nut of what he was saying was, oh, your house burned down? Screw you, pay me. You got to pay me. That's essentially what he's saying.
Yeah.
You signed a contract with me? Pay me.
So, a couple things. I didn't think what he said was all that egregious. It rubbed me the wrong way.
Sure.
I thought he used some words that I wouldn't have used, some phrases I wouldn't have used.
Uh-huh.
At the end of his soliloquy, he used the phrase, I have to get mine, or I want to get mine. Something about getting mine. That is never the way to put it when you're talking about, especially with people losing their jobs and people
already.
It's just
not going to resonate with.
No. That's not going to work. I got to get mine. I'm going to get
work.
But I think his overall point is one that's somewhat difficult to argue with, because, you know, he's looking at it. This is what this guy makes. He makes a lot of money. So he's used to making a lot of money. Now he's getting his salary slashed, and then the owners want to take more. And he's viewing it as, I'm putting my life on the line if I'm going to be exposed to a lot of people. Do I agree with him? No. I wish he would look at it a little bit with a broader scope and better perspective. But I sort of understand the frustration of, we were already going to take less, get less. Now you want us to get even less?
You have to understand, you need a little and I listened to OMF talk about this, and I thought Lou had some great points with regards to how Tony Clark, who's the head of the Players Association, should be dealing with this. Is like, hey, can you stop letting the stupid people talk and actually put some of the smart players out there in front of people and actually talk from their perspective? But when you're going to Blake Snell, you have to understand, this is a guy who hasn't made much money yet. His first big deal, the first year of his big deal, was supposed to be this year. Last year, he made $573,000. I know that's a ton of money to most of us.
That's nothing for a top-notch Cy Young winning pitcher.
He had only been making $500,000 a year for the previous 3 years, which, again, when you're looking at these players as commodity, that's not enough. This year was supposed to be that first year he's going to make $7.6 million. It was supposed to be his first big payday to pay off all the hard work. And he's not going to get that. And I completely understand the frustration on his part for that. It's a situation that you have no control over. And granted, nobody has any control over it. But how you deliver the message is very important, especially for baseball players, because we have a long history with baseball players going, oh, look at these greedy a-holes. They're just greedy. They don't care. And we're getting more and more frustrated as we're watching the popularity of the sport dwindle, and they're sticking their heads in the sands and not understanding how this works and how we're perceiving them to be. So it looked bad when he said what he said, or how he said what he said. It looked bad when Bryce Harper came out and doubled down on it. Said, that's my guy. That's my bro. He's a beast, dude. He ain't wrong. You're going to live with it your entire life, blah, 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 blah. It looks bad because they're dumb. They're dumb. That's just the reality of it. They're not that smart. And you should be actively putting out people that are more capable of delivering the message to the audience.
Well, that's
because we as consumers are looking at it and go, screw you. Because the NBA players, you know what they're saying? Man, I just want to get back and play. I want to finish the season. I just want to play. And they've made their money for the year. All that's left for some of them is playoff shares, which isn't a lot comparatively to what they make. It's not a lot. And all they're coming out and saying, I just want to play. You guys figure out a way for us to do this safely, we'll be back. We're game. We just got to figure out what the safe alternative is. Now, what you're hearing from the baseball players is very different, and I know they're in a different situation, but it's doing them no favors. When we're looking at our friends and family and going, man, 30 million people are out of work? 30 million people have to rely on unemployment or they're dip into their savings or whatever, and I'm hearing millionaires going, I'm going to play this game unless they pay me. I signed a contract. And then Trevor Bauer had this really long thread that Carrabba's put in Barstool, and Carrabba's was all over, and I'm reading it going, these two things don't equate. He's talking about, well, what if a painter painted an apartment and then the landlord didn't want to pay because something else happened? These two things don't equate. They just need to do a much better job of putting their message out, because right now they're alienating people left and right. They just are.
Yeah. Well, here's where I disagree with. First of all, let's talk about Bryce Harper, where he said somebody has to say it. No, somebody doesn't have to say it.
No, they don't.
I don't feel, you know, if Blake Snell wants to feel this way, fine. You know, I'd be frustrated too if I was due $7.6 million and then because of things out of my control, I'm not going to get that money. That would be frustrating. You can feel like that. You can feel frustrated, but nobody wants to hear you're complaining about what you're going to not get, and then I'll get mine. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to hear that. You sound like a whiny, greedy, get out of here.
Yeah.
So I don't need to hear that. Somebody doesn't have to say it, and you're right. Now, in a way, Blake Snell, you have to understand, is not worried about the future of baseball and the popularity of the sport. He's arrived. He's there. He's due $7.6 million. That's what he wants. That's what he's concerned
then
about.
Then $11 million the following year. And then 11, $13.1 million the following year. Then potentially up to $16.6
million. That's not what he's thinking. He's thinking my arm could go tomorrow, and that's it. I could be done. I want all the money I can get right now. So I understand that. We never begrudge an athlete for going for the money.
Not at all.
But in these type of scenarios where there is a global pandemic and people are out of work, we don't need to hear that.
No.
And
especially when your sport is teetering right now.
And with that being said, baseball has to find a way, and we've talked about this, they have to find a way to not screw this up. There cannot be some kind of delay in playing the games because of a money issue. That can't happen. So you've got to find a way. I'm not going to tell these people to just swallow it and not take the, you know, just...
No, just don't talk about it. You guys can have these negotiations behind closed doors.
Don't talk about it.
Because we're not going to feel sympathetic towards you. I mean, we're not feeling sympathetic towards the billionaire owners that are like, hey, we're going to lose $140 million this year. Okay. It's a drop in the bucket to you.
Yep.
You know, the reality is you have assets that can make up for that. So we're not going to feel bad for you either. Reality is we're not really feeling bad for any of you because we're watching our brethren be out of work, trying to figure out and scramble how to make some money in this horrible time we're in right now. And you guys are just sitting there going, no, 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 no. Pay me my full salary when... I know a lot of people that aren't out of work. A ton of people had to take pay cuts during this time. A ton of people with no say, nothing. Mm-hmm. Just had to eat it and swallow it and go back to work and continue working through. And you're sitting there going, I need to make my money.
I need to get mine.
I need to get mine.
Terribly put.
You just look like an ass.
Yeah.
We don't feel bad for you.
Doesn't do the sport any favors. And a sport that needs favors done for it.
You're further alienating us. Because the players and the player association, they've had a stranglehold on that sport for a long time now. And they refuse outright to do anything to make it more enjoyable to the consumer. Pitch clock, no, we don't want that. David Price coming out, no, I'm not doing pitch clock, blah, blah, blah. It's not how I play. Screw you. You want to keep making millions of dollars? Make a slight adjustment, you whiny bitch. Like, it's unbelievable. They have no concept, no clue of how badly they come off to the general public.
No, they don't. And you need to just shut up. You need to handle these thoughts internally, deal with the negotiations behind closed doors. And if it comes to it, and they're going to play games, and you don't want to play for whatever you would be making, then you have a decision to make. But cross that bridge when you get there, because you're doing nobody any favors, including yourself, by making comments like this. And Bryce Harper jumping in on it was just even more stupid because you had no reason to do that. Say it. No, they didn't.
No, they didn't have to say
it. From a guy making $430 million, he did not have to jump in on that.
No. They all just look terrible.
Yeah, coming up, by the way, not that this matters.
Like, so we were kind of not fully ripping the players when a month ago they're saying, like, I don't know if I want to leave my family for 3 months. I'm with you. I get it.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with you, but I completely understand where you're coming from. I'm worried about my safety, my health.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily completely agree with you, but I'm with you. I understand.
By the way, I think it's complete BS. If the players already, you know, they agreed to the prorated salaries. They agreed to that.
Yep.
That was now you want to take the 50-50 split? That would piss me off too. I'd be pissed. But
well, here's another one that they're talking about on OMF, and I think it might have come from Nolan Arenado, and they asked him, like, well, what if the owners open the books so you know exactly what the split is? He's like, I don't know if that would change my mind. And they were kind of killing him for that, and I'm like, no, I agree, because corporations fudge the books all the time. That's what they do. They all kind of have their tricky little accounting.
So there's some blame to go to the owners, obviously.
Yeah, of course there is, because they're unwilling to swallow a little bit for a year, too. They really have been unwilling to do that. Now, we're going to lose so much. You're not going to be in the poorhouse.
Everybody's at fault here.
Yes.
And baseball as a whole looks terrible.
If you can't afford to run the team when times are down, sell the team.
So
sell them. If you can't afford it when times are down, then you can't afford it.
Like, what is the owner? What's Derek Jeter getting upset? I mean, they're not playing games. Oh, we're going to come back, but we're not going to have any fans. You have no fans
Jeter
anyway.
Might be the only one that's
you have
not
no
that
fans
upset.
Anyway. I mean, it doesn't matter. So right now, baseball's in a bad place, which gets me concerned, because if we are on the precipice of finding a way to maybe play these games, not the time to be in a bad place. Don't screw this up, especially if you have the opportunity, if you're baseball, to be the first league back, to win over some hearts that maybe you haven't won over, to give people something to watch, to give them something that they'd be able to watch your sport when no other sports are playing.
Yep.
I mean, you'd have the stage to yourself. Don't screw that up, and don't look like an asshole.
Easy.
It don't look like a jerk.
You can say ass.
Yeah.
But you can't add to it.
Yeah.
It's so dumb.
So, okay. Real quick, before we go to break, I read something that I think it was a Bleacher Report article.
Yeah.
That the NFL is thinking about adding for an organization that hires a minority head coach or general manager or a person, a prominent executive within the organization, they are thinking about incentivizing that move by adding draft picks or helping you move up in the draft if you have a minority head coach or executive for more than a year.
It doesn't work.
They're trying to get more minorities in prominent positions within the NFL.
That's not practicing equality. If you want equality, you have to practice equality, which is just hire the best person, period. Man, woman, white, black, Asian, whatever. If you think they're the best person, just hire them. But trying to incentivize people to create this kind of false equality doesn't actually create equality. It creates more division. We've seen this over time in the States. We've seen this happen from time to time. But if you want things to be equal for everyone, treat everyone equally. Don't treat a certain section of society more so than the others to try and, quote, bring them up. The only way to bring certain people up or bring people up is to treat them equally to each other. You can't force equality. You have to practice it. And if you continue to practice it, we'll get to that point. But when you force it, you create division, unnecessarily so. So what happens is you have this situation and this minority candidate. The white guy doesn't get hired. He's kind of mad at the situation. Now he's mad at the minority coach that got hired. He's mad at the owner that got hired. What is that? That's more division. That's creating more division. Now he's mad at someone he doesn't even know for really no reason. No good reason other than that he was passed over for a job because there was compensation if you hired someone else instead. That's just really, really dumb. Again, if you want equality, practice equality. That's what you need to do. Continue along the path. Continue doing that.
It's a very uncomfortable situation for me. Just reading about what they were, I just find it uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I just find it uncomfortable that they would have to go to that length to try to, look, I don't know what you do. I mean, if you think the owners are racist, maybe you investigate certain owners that you think are racist.
Well, hold on.
I don't know.
Why are you the league saying the owners have to practice this, but you and the league aren't going to practice it either? Where are your minority owners? Are you going to give a team more draft picks if a minority comes in and buys the team? Oh, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. You're not. So again, it's creating a situation that opens up the door for more problems. And I don't understand why they can't see that. I think this is a bad idea. I think it's a bad idea. And I know what they said is, well, you know, you would get the draft picks the second year that coach is there. So what's going to prevent me saying, okay, I can get more assets. The team's not very good right now, but I can get even more assets. So 2 years from now, we can really load up. And then I can go hire the coach I actually wanted. How is that going to stop that?
One of the things that I made, you know.
Just hire the person you feel is most qualified and will do the best job, period. Don't look at the other stuff.
The NFL is the ultimate meritocracy. And this is the furthest thing from, it feels like the furthest thing from what a meritocracy should be by doing something like this.
Do you want to feel like you're special for something you have absolutely no control over?
It's tough.
No.
Because look, if there are, I mean, I don't know what the process is if the minority head coaches and candidates aren't getting a good enough look. They should. I mean, they should. But I don't think going about it this way is the right thing to do.
I don't either.
Incentivizing.
No.
Draft picks.
I mean,
you could go, in some situations, you could go from the third to the second round or the fourth to the third round.
It's just going to create more problems. It's just going to create more problems. I do not think it is a worthwhile experiment for the NFL to get involved in. I think it's going to make them look worse at the end of the day. Just practice equality. Practice it. That's all you need to do.
Well, they'll say that they've been practicing that. And it's not working because the minority people aren't getting enough chances to be head coaches or top executives.
Are they or are they not? I don't know. Well, I don't know. None of us are in those rooms to sit there and go, who do we think is the best person for the job of all the people you've interviewed? We're not in those rooms.
I know. But see,
we don't see them, so we don't know.
They go back to 2018 where three or four of the black head coaches, they got fired. Todd Bowles, Steve Wilkes.
That's a part of equality.
Well,
that's a part of it.
But that's my point. What do you want to do? The Cardinals were terrible. Hugh Jackson didn't deserve to be fired. The Browns were a joke. Marvin Lewis, 16 years and never won a playoff game.
But that's about treating people the same. Would you have fired the white head coach if his team was terrible? Yes. Would you have fired the black head coach if his team was terrible? Yes. That's equality. That's the goal. That's what you want. It's not to treat people differently based on the color of their skin. It's to treat everyone the same. Because you know what? They're the same species as you.
Yeah, you don't have to preach that to me. But I'm just telling you, it's not. That's not how things are. I mean, that equality.
Trying to force it's not going to make it better. I'm just telling you with this. It's not going to make it better. We've seen more division in this country over the last 10, 15 years than we had for the previous 10 to 15 years. We're not going in the right direction here, and this is not a step in the right direction.
There are too many people that disagree and think that it needs to be highlighted. It needs to be talked about and discussed more and more and focused on, dwelled upon.
Having a discussion is different than enacting a plan that doesn't actually practice equality.
No. But we're talking about the people that do more harm than good in discussions like this.
Well, yeah.
Because those people are the big problem.
The dumb people?
They think that they're doing more harm, or they think that they're helping the situation.
Yeah, well, don't listen to them. They've proven they're dumb.
Yeah, well, if you have a platform, sometimes it doesn't matter. You can get your word out there.
Agreed.
I don't think it's a good idea. I think it makes me very uncomfortable, and I see what they're trying to do, but you got to find another way. I don't like that idea at all. All right, when we get back, we'll have the producer's question. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show.
It's Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. Let's get the producer's question.
It is time for the producer's question. So here is Devin Telgani. He has a question. It won't be about sports. So here it is for Mark and Ben.
All right, guys. This week's producer's question of the day is, what famous person have you met in person?
What? I thought it was the most famous person we ever met.
Who is the most famous person that you've met in person?
Mark?
I mean, just like associated with the job, Tom Brady.
It's pretty famous.
Magic Johnson. Those are the two.
There you go. Those are pretty good ones.
But they're like associated with the job, so I don't feel like that counts. Like, I've never met somebody at the grocery store. Not that famous people go to the grocery store. Or on the street, you know what I mean? Or at the bar, or at a club. I've never done that.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be associated with a job. And for me, it's not anyone I met in association with EEI or sports radio. Because I was thinking, you know, maybe Pedro or Bill Belichick. I'm obviously both incredibly famous. David Ortiz, incredibly famous. But then I thought, oh, wait, no. I worked at a place where people are a little more famous than that. Just globally more famous. I probably, of all the artists I've met over the years, you know, the Jonas Brothers, pretty damn famous.
Are they?
Yes. They're a huge musical act.
Okay.
It's Justin Bieber.
Bieber's big.
Justin Bieber. He's probably the most famous person I've ever met.
Ever met Taylor Swift?
No. Never seen her. Never met her in person.
Katy Perry?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
She's big.
Yeah. She's hot, too.
Is she?
Yeah. She looks awesome in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was actually at the same, I met Bieber, Katy Perry, and Lady Gaga at the same event.
Too.
Yeah. It was right before Lady Gaga blew up.
Any of those three.
It was right before Lady Gaga blew up. But I would say Bieber's probably the most famous of all of them. Probably.
Not by Twitter account. I mean, I think Katy Perry has the most Twitter followers in the world, doesn't she?
Does she?
I thought so.
I don't know.
100 million or something?
I don't know.
I think it might be Selena Gomez.
For you?
I met her.
Oh,
no,
followers?
For like Twitter
maybe,
followers.
Yeah, maybe.
I met her, but she's not nearly as famous as those other people. I mean, the most famous thing she did was have sex with Justin Bieber.
Okay.
To be real. Miley Cyrus. I mean, I met all of these people.
You met Miley?
Yeah.
She like?
Awful.
Awful.
Awful. Atrocious. Bieber wasn't, he was kind of a douche.
Did you drive them?
I drove Bieber and I drove Katy Perry. Okay. But I met Miley Cyrus at this backstage thing that I had to film for Billy Costa to interview her, and she's just disrespectful.
What was that, chewing gum or something?
Just chomping on gum doing an interview, and then she's doing like her vocal warm-ups, and she's singing inappropriate songs because all the girls that were there were all like, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, and she's singing wildly inappropriate songs while she's doing her vocal warm-ups, like to them. It was just, blech.
Okay.
After that, I was like, oh, she sucks.
Okay.
Get rid of her. Bieber had this weird moment, like he was signing stuff and somehow accidentally got a little bit of the pen on his shirt and then demanded the intern girl, like, come over, wipe it off of him and clean
him. You got the pen
him.
On his shirt?
No. I was like 10 feet away from this watching this happen.
So he got the pen on his shirt and demanded that some intern for Kiss 108?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come here and wipe this.
Come here and wipe this off. So it's got to, for me, the kid was like 14, 15 at the time.
Yeah.
It was weird.
That kind of fame at that age must be.
Yeah, that's got to suck.
Mess you up.
That's got to suck. Yeah. That's absolutely got to suck. But, you know, obviously doing that, you're meeting so many famous people.
Yeah.
That are globally more famous than American athletes.
You ever met Adam Levine?
I didn't meet him. He was there. We were there at the same time. I didn't meet him.
All right.
But I didn't meet every of the artists that came through. You know, you'd see them all.
Yeah.
But you don't meet them all necessarily. And no, I didn't meet him.
Yeah, Magic Johnson was at the charity event that they do right here in Rhode Island, the Jeffrey Osborne charity golf and softball game or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was great. He, you know, I took a picture with him. He was just taking pictures. Usually you don't take a picture, but he was taking pictures with everyone. So he was like, you taking a picture? I was like, yeah. So I took a picture like we were boys, you know, like a little embrace. Boys. And Brady was just in the locker room. That's it.
Yeah.
Introduced myself. He was totally unimpressed.
Well.
And that was it. Yeah. No, I know. What is there to be impressed with?
You know Steve Burton.
No. So, and then I talked to him another time because I had a story I was doing. The guy I did the story on begged me to say hi to Tom Brady for him because he was his boss at an internship. Mm-hmm. Back when he was at Michigan, he was like, just tell him I said hi. So I had to go up to him and be like, look, Steve Owens, he says hi. So
did he care? Did he even
know? He was like, oh, yeah, how's he doing? How did you talk to him? And I explained. I was like, you can go check out the story. You can just type in intern Tom Brady to Google. You'll see it. That's it. I don't have any wild stories at the bar. I'm surprised you haven't, like, hooked up with a famous person.
No, not really. Not really famous.
No.
Minor, very extremely minor. Might have had a blip on the radar for about 10 minutes, but that's about it.
All right. What's there to look forward to for next week?
Well, tomorrow night we've got the conclusion of The Last Dance.
Yeah.
So that's going to be very interesting to see how that ends.
So you know what's
NASCAR
funny?
Tomorrow night.
You know what's funny? I saw an interview this week.
Some golf.
I don't even know when it happened, probably a few weeks ago, but it was with the three of Michael Jordan's kids. And I'm watching The Last Dance, and I said it to my wife. I was like, how does he have any time to, like, be with his family?
Be a parent.
Yeah. I mean, he's playing basketball, and then he goes and plays baseball in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. He's riding the bus. Then he's shooting Space Jam. Then he's playing in those Space Jam games under the tent all summer long, 15-hour days. Like, when does he have time to be with a kid? His three kids, and they were all normal. They all spoke like they had good relationships with their dad.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
It's weird.
But I don't know when he had time to be with him. He's golfing 27 holes every day. He's, you know, I have no idea. But, it's weird. You know, it must be tough being a kid of a legend like that. None of them look anything like him, what that's worth. Maybe the girl does a little bit. One of the guys. So I don't know if they played basketball or baseball or what, but.
Jeffrey played basketball.
Played basketball.
University of Illinois.
Okay. But, it should be good. We'll look forward to that for sure. All right, what's coming up next?
Mock and Hot.
Okay. We'll see you next week. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.